This is a recording of Ivan P. from Sacramento, California, with the topic Steps 7 through 12, taped at the 2nd Annual 209 South NA Unity Day in Madera, California, on Saturday, August 4th, 1990. In observance with our 11th tradition stating anonymity at the public level, please keep this tape within the fellowship and observe the anonymity of all NA speakers.
Thank you, Steve. At this time, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker, Ivan P. from Sacramento.
Thank you, Ken. My name's Ivan. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ivan.
And right now, I think my biggest shortcoming is I thought I was going to talk on traditions. I've been planning that for like 2 or 3 weeks now. So I definitely have to ask God to humbly remove those. And so I work on the steps. The seventh step, my shortcomings are a state of thought that I usually go into, and usually that state of thought is a real confused point in my life. You know, I don't know how to think out life and work through those thoughts, and if they're a good thought to act on. My character defects are a direct result from my shortcomings. I have this thought, and it's been a real insane thought, and I usually carry it out a lot of times before I, you know, got into this program. And the point of shortcomings for me, how they kind of work in my life, is like, we had step two that goes back into is coming to believe and asking God to return us to sanity. And a lot of my insanity out there was one of basis for my shortcomings and how I demand to live my life and ran through it through my character defects. My thought patterns seemed to always get me in trouble. It was kind of like a world of total excitement, adventure, creation off my own insane way of thinking that life was presented for me and how I reacted in and through it. By the way, is there any other Vietnam vets out there? One, two, welcome home. And that was a lot of my character defects and my shortcomings was based on that point there. It led me into a very insane way of living and basis of control and all those little power insignias that I got myself through there. And my shortcomings are a hard thing for me to deal with sometimes because I never know they're there until they just happen to pop up. It's kind of like my insanity. How I'm returning to sanity is becoming insane and God keeping me clean through it, and I find out that particular shortcoming in my life is real insane. And it's kind of how I get to return to sanity is by going through my shortcomings a lot of times for me. My recovery has been based on going through a lot of moments of insanity while I'm clean and sober. And in order for me to realize the fact that my way of living was real insane and based off real sick thinking and sick actions afterwards. But the only way I come to find out my shortcomings is that of going through a character defect. And it's all about reaction time for me. Whether it may be from my own creation or the creation of somebody else, that me thinking that they should drive the way that I do, and the asshole cuts me off, and of course, you know, I want to beat his door in, flip him off, call him all kinds of names, and it's all based off my shortcomings and causing a character defect from that point. Sometimes I don't want to give up those shortcomings, you know, because I don't know if I can feel comfortable being this really clean, neat person, you know. I'm so used to being real sick in my own mind that it's kind of hard to give up that stuff. It's been a creation of my life for like 38 years before I even got in this fellowship, and so it's a point that it's really hard to surrender that insanity. And hello, open door case there. But I find that it is humbling for me to have these shortcomings removed from me, because I find out I become a little more peaceful, not quite as reactive. My old way of life was I really liked to react to a lot of different things in life. because it gave me a feeling of a purpose in life. It was kind of like my purpose when I went to Vietnam was to be this protector image, you know, like the John Wayne and Audie Murphy mode in life. And I watched a lot of those movies as a kid. And so it always, you know, it was kind of like I always get myself into a real sick, dangerous position because it was just this mode in me. You know, I wanted to help everybody else and fuck over Ivan a lot. And that was the essence of my life a lot. So it's been a lot more humbling for me to be able to just be really the heartful guy that I am, not have to take on everybody else's world and live in mine. And a shortcoming in my life, the biggest one, was just thinking that I was the only person in this world to help everybody else. And that's been a real hard one for me to defeat. Even sometimes today I still go through that shortcoming and character defect. And so it's kind of like a day-to-day basis for me. It's kind of like my sanity is there every day when I wake up, and it's all based off of thoughts. I become better through humbly asking God, and humbly asking God doesn't mean that I really have to get on my knees. The humbling part is just asking Him for His help. The way I pray today is in many different forms, in many different places. It's not just by my bed or by the couch that I sleep on or whatever. It's whenever I have that moment of insanity inside of me and the insanity of those thoughts that I can't seem to control. And so therefore I have to become humble and ask God to help me out through that time. And and generally it seems to ease off a lot for me. And the only way I ever learned that is from people in my life today. You know, it's really neat that I have a huge family today, and it's called Narcotics Anonymous, and it's kind of like my golden Cadillac, you know, and I get to be just one little part of that golden Cadillac instead of being the Cadillac, you know, and it's pretty nice. That humbles me, you know. It's really enriching for me that I have a really huge family, and they teach me an awful lot. You know, sometimes how I find out my shortcoming is through another person's actions also. That has been my own action, and because I don't readily see myself unless I get to see somebody else do part of my own insane way of living. And it's even just within that one point there, and how God brings it to me is real humbling in itself. But again, it goes back to the point of me surrendering that point. It's my potty training point. I don't like to change my diapers. I've become so used to packing the shit around with me that, you know, I don't want to turn it over and let it go. But I find out my load becomes a lot less, and the weight that I bear on me is much, much more seized and peaceful. Step 8, making a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. For me, that step was not real tough. I was real good at isolation. My biggest demands has been to me, my list of 1-30 was Ivan all the way through, you know, and I'm sure my list continues to go on. There's a lot of lists of people that I can't even make amends to because, one, I can't remember their names. It was so long ago. One of my old insane ways of rebelling back at the world was in high school. I was such an angry little kid, I'd go up and punch the wall lockers and bend them just away to where I could open up the doors and take the school candy and the money out of there, you know. And 95% of those people, I didn't even know who owned the lockers. So those are amends that I can't even make, other than the fact that I learned how to live a different way today, and that's how I make those amends. The main thing is I do remember those things now that I'm becoming clean and sober. And I ask God to help me not to do those particular character defects anymore. I had kind of a neat experience here in the past month where it was kind of neat and then kind of not neat. You know, I ended up having to go to the hospital because I was bleeding internally and my body went completely dehydrated and my blood pressure went down to almost zero. And while I was in there, my parents came in and visited me. My mom came in like twice a day, and my dad came in one time. And it was kind of unique for me because every time my dad was in the hospital from a heart attack or heart surgery, I went and visited him exactly one time and extended my what love I had in me at that time. And he got to do the same thing with me this time. And it was a kind of a unique experience for me. But the neatest part of it was is where this one day my mom came in there, because I did a lot of things against my parents, you know. It was because the my living style was based off the fact that my parents didn't love me. They rejected me and always left me behind. My sister and my sisters and my brother were older than me, always left me behind. So it was kind of like I got real pissed off at my family. My family was my problem, of course. And it was just the fact that I was my own problem. And I couldn't get my way, you know, and that's basically what it was. But the neat thing of being in the hospital and having my mom come in this one time, I got to share with her where I lost that little precious child inside of me. And the way I found that was through looking through my family pictures and finding out where this kid was really very, very content in his life, and then going from a point of being content to real self-willed, little horns coming up out of his head, and, you know, and he was just a real rascal. And I got to share that with my mom while I was in the hospital, and we sat there and talked quite a bit, and that was the process of going through that eighth step, finding out the people we had harmed, and then following on with the ninth step. And if I could make a list of people that I harmed in a different way, and the way that I harmed them was through trying to harm myself, making them the creator of my problem. And the problem is that I have with that particular thing is most of them are one, not in this world, or two, they're nowhere close to where I live to be able to make the amends. But, as I understand the program and understanding my higher power and how it works is the fact that sometimes the opportunity to make the amends off the eighth step is something that comes in God's time and not my time. And so I have to be patient on those. It's not like, you know, I get in this program and I want to work all the way through these 12 steps and become recovered. And for me, what I found is my recovery has been very gradual. It hasn't been a thing that I go through real instantaneously and get it all over out of the way and think that life is going to be well and wonderful from that point. And it's kind of like how my eighth and ninth step works with me in my life is I know a lot of people that I harmed. The hardest one for me to make any kind of amends to is myself. And so sometimes I have to really work on making amends to myself. And then when I can do that, maybe I can find enough peace within me to be able to make the amends to other people. Because it's the fact that there is so much animosity in how I live my life and the styles and things that I got myself into. There's a lot of internal frustration. And if I go out and make amends to another person at the wrong time, that internal frustration in myself about myself is going to come out on them. I'm not going to make the proper amends. And so it's real important that I make amends to myself. Even in recovery, things have happened in my life that I've had to make amends to other people. And one thing that happened to me just before my 1 year birthday was the fact that I found out my three daughters had been molested by my ex-wife's last husband. And it was a very hard experience to go through. And the point of interest that came into me after things kind of started mellowing out in me was the fact that the most important thing I could do was forgive that person who had done that harm to my children. Because one, it allowed me to find some peace inside myself, because that anger and that rage was real heavy at that point. And the greatest gift I got out of it was the point of being able to forgive myself. Because a lot of times when I can forgive another person for their particular harm that they've done, it also grants me the right to forgive me. It's like if I don't have the willingness to forgive another human being who's just as sick as I, then how am I going to forgive myself for all my problems that I've caused? Even though it's not something I can say I forgive the guy every day, you know. Sometimes it's a moment-to-moment thing. It's but I did have a bit of internal growth out of that one point. And the benefit is the fact that I continue to grow in a spiritual way. The going back to a shortcoming character defects, thinking that I had to be the perfect image, was a real hard part to live down. And thinking that other people have to be a perfect image in the world is a hard image to live down too. A lot of my life was based off of other people's expectations, or at least what I thought their expectations were of me. And in the same thing doing, I do that to other people. I expect those people to live up to my own internal image. And the unfortunate thing of not being able to do that is I harm myself. Mary's over here falling asleep on me. Sheesh. So it's there goes that image thing, you know. It goes back to forgiving others. For me, is also a process of forgiving myself. At the same time, you know, I had to go make amends to my ex-wife. And of course, right after I did that, I expected her to make her amends. You know, and well, was that ever a bad expectation? You know, I kind of went home resentful at that, and I had to do my daily inventory at that point. You know, and I said, "Oh boy, did I ever boo boo?" You know, because all I did, you know, it's kind of like I caused that expectation fluster in me. You know, and it's this goes the shortcomings and character defects all over again. You know, it's kind of like going to step 12 and going backwards. You know, working down. So it's important that I continue to learn how to forgive other people and forgiving myself in that process. Step 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. Just like that point in common that in my day, I have a lot of actions that I go through. A lot of them are what I call instinctual reactions, things that I've built into myself over my life that are based off the shortcomings and character defects that I've learned how to live that way. And so when I do those, I don't really know it until after I go home. And to me, the 10th step is like doing a daily judgment on myself and seeing if I'm living up to spiritual principles in this program. The 10th step is not something that I sit down and I write about. I go through an awful deep thought process when I come home. I'm not real good at writing. That's my own problem. You know, for me, I come home and I sit down and I do kind of like a meditation trip, and I go back in the past moments of the day, and I think about the good and the bad. You know, daily inventory isn't just a point of going in and making bad judgments on myself. It's also going to and making judgments of the proper moves that I made. Old way of living was one of always condemning oneself and never praising oneself for anything you ever did right. So today is a little different. That daily inventory is all about being good and also not harmful to myself, but letting myself know that I've done wrong to somebody and I do need to make amends at that point, or when that point comes around, like usually the next day. I find also, since I've gotten in recovery and learned about these 12 steps and 12 traditions, is the fact a lot of times my daily inventory is kind of done throughout the day. Sometimes I'll have this real glaring reaction point, and the thing that I find right afterwards is I was wrong in my moves. And we go back to the big P word called procrastination. You know, I can put that one aside for a day. You know, I haven't made my 10th step daily inventory. You know, sometimes my 10th step is a moment-to-moment inventory, because if I don't take care of that at that time, I'll continue to procrastinate it because I have the fear of making amends to this person, because it's real humbling. You know, especially if he's somebody I've always felt was lesser. You know, my kids is a good one. I'm always making boo-boos with my kids. You know, and so sometimes I have to feel that mistake that I've made and make amends at that moment. And that makes the bonds between me and that other human being a little bit closer, because I'm not always right. You know, it's kind of like God's will for me is to let people know that I'm not always right. You know, people think I'm intelligent. I got called that this morning, you know, and oh shit, boy, that was one of my big character defects, is thinking I was real intelligent, you know, which I am smart, but my smarts is what got me in trouble, you know, and it had nothing to do with intelligence. You know, so it goes back to, again, you know, what my steps kind of led me into is learning how to be humble, you know, and just being a part of this Cadillac deal, you know, and the only way I've done it is working through these steps and practicing the principles and the basis of spirituality through this process. And you know, the 10th step has been a good one, because it gives me a way to feel myself in practicing these principles on a daily basis. Sometimes you'll get a person will go in and work a 4th step, you know, and he feels he's all done, and then he forgets all about the 10th step, and next thing you know, he's got another 4th step to do down the line, because he didn't do his daily inventories and didn't take care of those daily amends that he needed to do. You know, and that was kind of like me. I didn't know how to do those in the past before I got here. And I still don't always do them real well, but I do them a hell of a lot better than what I ever did before I ever got to this point. And I could say it's easy, but, you know, it's not always easy. But it has become easier. You know, it's kind of like I easy does it on myself. I like to like me. And the only way I can do that is to be able to practice these principles that are being taught to me by these steps. And the 10th step is real important. That way I don't have to do another 4th step, which I don't particularly care to do again. It's a lot of work. Then I go on. What helps me do all these things is going through the 11th step. Is doing my prayers and meditation and praying only. And that one word right there, only, for the knowledge of God's will. It's a big one. There's one thing I try to change in this step here. For me, it's how I have to do it, because I get hung up on these words. Words kind of give me momentum, and there's a word in there called power. That's real tough for me to deal with, because I like to become empowered. And so I have to do mine and ask for his strength instead of his power. You know, it's the word plays, you know. And my mind, my shortcomings in my mind work on word plays. And you give me power, and I become self-propelled. You know, it's like perpetual motion. And so how I practice that one today is I practice for the will of his knowledge and the strength to carry it out instead of the power to carry that out. And the strength is what I truly want. It's not the power. You know, the power is what kept me out there killing myself for a long time, because I was power induced. And praying for me is a mode of becoming humble and asking God for his help. It doesn't matter if I'm on my knees, which I do my knees. Words are hard sometimes. You know, it doesn't state in any direction that we have to pray. It doesn't state in any place that we have to pray. He just asks us to pray and ask for his help. You know, and that for me is the humbling part, because the fact that it's just like I would never ask my parents for their help. It's become real humbling for me to ask my parents for help. And it's not that they're a god, that's the fact that they're people that I thought I had to live up to this image that they thought I was supposed to be able to do. And it was kind of the reason why I never prayed to God, because a lot of times it was always to the point of real desperation. I hit another one of those kind of plateau bottoms, you know, and I'd ask God to get me out of this one plateau because the road was too rough. And today it's just simply asking for his strength and his courage to make it through another day clean and sober. So praying for me is a connection between myself and the God as I understand him. And it's pretty simple that way. And staying in communication with him. It's kind of like if I had a family you know, I didn't communicate with them, they wouldn't know what was going on in my life and what things I did need to have the strength for to carry through. So it's meditation is my quiet moments. I don't do it real well yet. You know, I still have a lot of these little shortcomings going through there. They seem to want to cloud up my meditation a lot of times. But I do find when I do get in the proper clearness of mind that meditation is real freeing from the inside. It, at the time that I don't have to listen to those thoughts in my mind of how stupid the world is, and or how stupid this person's actions were, or something along that line, because my meditation for me is sometimes to be able to feel the answers that I need to feel in order to have the strength to carry out my life from that point. The way God talks to me is, you know, it's not in words. It's like I may have a problem that I pray to him about, and in my time of meditation, there isn't any words come through. There aren't any glorious bells ringing off, but it's a feeling that I get that I have this answer at that time. You know, it's like I find a person in a fellowship, and for some purpose, I have this feeling that we're going to become close friends in this fellowship, and it happens along the line. You know, every close friend I have in the fellowship has been an inkling that that's going to be a good bond, it's going to be a good companion. And it's all been brought to me by this meditation point of being open-minded and willing to do the change. And meditation is a point of relax for me. My muscles, my mind, my body become at ease because I'm relying on this source of strength outside of myself. Not in myself, not until the moment that I am supposed to have it. He gives me a lot of courage, he or she or whatever this power is. It gives me a lot of courage inside of myself just to live through a moment in my life, because those moments sometimes are real difficult for me because I have this sickness up here in between my ears. You know, it always goes on. What takes me out of my meditation a lot of times is the sickness between my ears. And, so when I do get those pleasurable moments of meditation, real meditation, I come out of it a lot more peaceful. And I really do treasure those moments when I get a clearness of real meditation and not life's little boggles. And let's see, going from there, power to carry it out. Sometimes, for me, the power to carry anything out is just to be me. It's kind of like our going into the tradition, the 11th tradition, is attraction rather than promotion. Even though a lot of times our fellowship does do promotion, it's in a very unique way. It's called attraction. And the attraction is living my life in a completely different way than I ever thought would be imaginable for myself. And the only way that I do that is asking for the strength of this higher power to learn how to live in a spiritual, caring, loving, compassionate way instead of a very angry, violent, turmoilish way. And that's how I carry things out today, is through a much more compassionate, loving, caring me. You know, it's all from more from the heart. I can't say all, because this does get connected quite a few times. But you know, when I live down here, there's so much peace. There's serenity. You know, it's kind of like we do the serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept people, places, and things, and then the courage to change myself. You know, that those are the points that a lot of times in my prayers and meditations I have to do, because I still continue sometimes to practice trying to change other people. But I catch myself, and then I pray for the fact that I need to have the courage to change me. And that's how I find the power to carry anything out, is to change me, and carrying on a program of attraction rather than promotion. Before I got into this fellowship, it was all about being an example for other people instead of being a living example to myself, which I found in this fellowship. I worked in a Vietnam counselor's program in Sacramento, and I was a drug and crisis counselor while I was still doing dope. And the unique part of that was is I didn't have to work on me. I could work on other people and be an example for these other people, you know, off the facial value to them, because I didn't look too bad at that time. And so the sick part of it was you know, I had no strength in me to carry anything out at that time other than the fact that I was doing these people harm, because I wasn't living or even hearing what I was saying to them. You know, and it's kind of like today, I listen a lot more to myself from the heart instead of listening to the bullshit out of the brain. It does, you know, he likes to ramble up here and give this real facial deal, you know, and become a share and have a body job, you know. So it's you know, the carrying things out today is through my own actions and how I choose to live in this program and just being taught by this program. Step 12 is all about having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. For me, the spiritual awakening actually happened before I even got here with my first one. And it was a rude awakening based from a spiritual awakening, the fact that my chosen way of living life and in demanding life be my way came very apparent to me that my way of living was not right. It wasn't working. And it was all about a hotel room in Woodland, laying on a bed with no clothes on, sweating like a dog, drinking beer, doing all kinds of crank, and thinking it was going to take all the inside turmoil away. And it was at that point that the pain, mentally, physically, and spiritually, was just tremendous for me. And at that point, I kind of prayed to God that I asked Him to selfishly remove me from this world. Please let me die. In a time of quietness after that point, an answer came to me, and the answer was, as you are. And which kind of rattled my cage. You know, I've been dead all these years, you know, spiritually, physically, and mentally dead. And what I actually wanted in my real praying was the wish and desire to learn how to live. And that was my first spiritual awakening from this program. At that point was when I got into this program. You know, before I got into this program, it was kind of like I had this belief in a higher power. And the higher power was letting me be an example for other people. Today, the best thing that I can do is to become an example for myself and from my heart and become a much better person. And going into a loving and caring person for myself. I used to beat me up real good. You know, it's like the fact that I couldn't find anybody in this world that could physically or mentally beat me up nearly as good as me. Because it was just, you know, not that I was really a masochist or anything, but it was just what I'd taught myself to do as a child and as a teenager, adolescent, and into young adulthood and progressing through it until I came to this program. And at the point of this spiritual awakening for me, what I got from it was the fact that, one, I wanted to live, and two, the self-abuse that I'd done to myself was really internally and physically damaged to me. That was what ended up making me go to the hospital here in the past month. The past living style that I lived has done so much damage to me physically that even living normal isn't going to really help it out. You know, it's kind of like I have to pay my dues of my own creation. But since I came into the program, every step I've ever worked through I've had spiritual awakenings from. You know, it's not just working through the 12th step and having the spiritual awakening at that point. Every particular surrender and process that I've gone through in this stepping program
is the fact that there's a spiritual awakening after each one. It's called freedom from active addiction. You know, because today I don't have to use any type of mind-altering substance. When I admitted my powerlessness and where my unmanageability came from was a real relief. The thing that I had problem with me when I got to step 11, working step 11, I became empowered again. And for me, what I had to do is I had to go back in and work traditions and take the power away from me. And that's why I go back into strength instead of power. I become my worst enemy a lot of times, but through the program, I'm learning how to release and get this self-centered, empoweredness person away, and simply trying to be a humble person and a part of something instead of being the part. You know, my life has been one, doing a lot of drugs; two, going to a lot of schools; three, doing a lot of work to support my habit, not ripping off people. You know, it gave me a real sense of, well, I can do it my way and not harm anybody else, but just harm me. And through working the 12th step and all the other steps previously, I don't do that quite as much. And then going into the traditions for me has continued the process of my own internal growth. Become what it does is it makes me more and more humbly a part of this fellowship instead of being the fellowship again. It's just like today I guide people instead of being sponsors to people. My sponsor in my program is my higher power, and because he's the one that, to me, the word sponsorship is authorityship, and what I choose to call myself is a guide, because my sponsor who's brought me through this whole world has been my higher power, whether I really believed in that connection or accepted that connection. You know, kind of like, I've always had this belief that this higher power was out there, but accepting his golden gifts to me was real, real hard to do because I like to damage me real well. Kind of like when I was a kid, I'd get these little models that were already put together and pull it all apart and destroy it and never put it back together. That was me. You know, what this program has been doing for me is being able to take those models and put them back together instead of pulling them apart. And it's all through working 12 steps. And for me also, it's been going into the 12 traditions. It's been real important. And it continues my spiritual awakening. Because it states in here, we try to carry this message to addicts and practice these principles in all our affairs. And the only way I'm ever going to learn any spiritual principles is finding out that the traditions are the principles of the program. The way I carry the message to the addict who still suffers is through our fifth tradition. And that's our primary purpose. And there's only one requirement, and that's our own desire not to use anymore. You know, so it's kind of like, I like the 24-step program, you know. For me, it works a lot better. I don't like the feeling of being empowered. I don't like the feeling of being on a pedestal. I don't like the feeling of putting anybody on a pedestal other than my higher power in itself, as whatever his concept within me is. Trying to carry the message to the addict who still suffers is through the 11th tradition. And that is one of you know, I work at this place in Roseville, and the people that I work with know who I am. They know where I came from, even my bosses. I wear my T-shirts in there all the time. Great big NA logos, you know. And I tell them about that I get to go here and talk, and you know, we're going to go on this big old camp out in Tahoe, and just have a good spiritual time, you know. And the nice part of it is let me talk to these people and let them know that when they finally find out that they have a living problem, I'll be here, you know. And I don't promote it to them. I don't slam it down their throat, you know. And sometimes they'll talk to me and it's, yeah, well, this is going like this one day, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, I can relate to that, you know. Shit, I've been there a couple times. And you know, it's carrying the message to the addict who still suffers a lot of times is in its way a very innocent thing, because it's just simply being ourselves as who we are today and living in our heart and trying to care and love about anybody that comes into our world that we recognize as one of ourselves. And a lot of times through those people that I get to meet out there, I continually get to see myself all over, just like the newcomer that comes into the fellowship. I get to see and feel myself as they walk through the doors, and having a new desire in themselves to maybe practice the principle called change. And it's kind of neat. You know, another neat experience while I was in the hospital, after I got out, these people at work liked me so much, they collected up a wad of money and gave me a get well card. You know, and I still have a hard time accepting gifts from people. You know, it's something I don't really do well. I still have a problem of being rewarded for being this new person that I am. Because a lot of times I don't think I've changed all that much. But as I remember, I came in the program, I weighed 110 pounds, was real withdrawn mentally, physically. And so I guess there has been a lot of change. You know, and you get an opportunity to work with normal society outside of the fellowship, and you find out the fact that these people are kind of like yourself, and they like you. You know, what a concept. Somebody would like you as a person who doesn't use dope, doesn't use alcohol. I try to practice another principle. I don't use sex on the wrong side, you know, when it's not for the right purpose. So it's kind of like it's different to them, and the response that I get back from it is they love and care about me just as much as I love and care about them. And it's really rewarding. It's like when I got into this program too, I wanted to go out and help all the Vietnam veterans and kind of be this other principal thing, you know, because there's such a strong bind between myself and other Vietnam vets that I really want to see more of them in the program, you know, and then let them know that the war is over. You know, it died a long time ago. It was just mentally I could never let it go. And I have a lot of new Vietnam vet friends in the program that are clean and sober. And it's, again, each time I meet one, it's like a new spiritual awakening. Because then I get to go back through and thank that person for maybe helping me get home. And because without that other person, I may not have ever been here. You know, and it's kind of like I used to think that I was the purpose and reason why I got back to the United States. And the purpose and reason why I got back to the United States is because there's a lot of other men over there doing the same damn thing, you know, trying to get back here. And the fellowship is one of ties that bind us together. And my personal recovery depends on the unity of Narcotics Anonymous. And my personal life depended on a lot more Vietnam vets than myself. You know, so my mode of coming back here into a somewhat normal life, that was my big incentive, you know, to go back out there and try and help the vet. And but the nice thing of it is I don't have to do that because God's kind of bringing them into my life. And another thing that's been granted to me is a really neat spiritual awakening is being able to feel what we used to call camaraderie over there. And you know, it's kind of like, when I got here, it was like my thing of drugs was the war. You know, the life and death situation. And if I didn't have the people in this program, it would be like being back over there in the jungle. I wouldn't have anybody behind my back to protect me. And Narcotics Anonymous seemed like most every person in Narcotics Anonymous is a Vietnam vet. You know, because they're helping me protect my back. The enemy's always there. You know, I can walk out the door of a meeting and the enemy's going to be there. You know, it's really rampant. And so it's kind of like my past is a using asset today instead of being a liability. You know, and forgetting the war and forgiving myself through the war and forgiving myself through the past of living after that war of non-forgiveness for many years. It's been a real relief. You know, what I did over there I had to do, and God's forgiven me for it. Forgave me for it for a long time ago, but I just never could do it. And today through the grace of this program and God bringing me to it and the people that He brought in my life and making these simple suggestions to me. It's like every day I have a spiritual awakening. And, just waking up in the morning is like a spiritual awakening because I never thought I'd live this long. You know, and I made it to 40 this year. That's a miracle. The way I lived was really crazy, going all the way to the dead zone. But, I found out there had been a higher power in my life all my life. There have been friends in my life that I never even thought were my friends. And today I learned how to forgive myself from rejecting them. It's only through this program that I've had the chance and the opportunity to learn how to live a different way. And that's with hope of never ever using a needle, a pill, a fix, a drink, or anything ever again to take away my living problem. Because life has become a lot easier with it. I don't carry it as long. And I wish to say thank you for you all being here. And never ever have to use again. Period. And that's recovery. Only a few 12 steps. Thank you.